Good to see you all with us. We have several who are traveling this week, and we want to lift them up in prayer and pray that they have safe travels. I think there's a lot of traveling going on. I know Maureen's going next week, and we're going the following week. So we'll just keep that prayer request going. I want to continue to lift up George, Kathy's husband, who is in recovery from hip surgery, and she said he's doing well. And that was the latest report I got anyway.
And remember Kathy, who's having to go back to being a nurse with George.
Yeah, probably one of the most difficult patients, I would guess.
I would guess you know, so.
You know, continue to lift them up. Also for all those who are experiencing health problems, for God's wisdom in directing our leaders and for our church, for all the needs among us. Are there any other prayer requests that you all would? Yes.
I have
have one, my mom in East Tennessee, she's got a urinary tract infection, and, you know, at her age, she's almost 100 now, and so that can be kind of dangerous, but she's just feeling tired right now, so hopefully she'll bounce back from this really well.
Anyone else?
My friend, Larry Shelton, that has the cancer in his legs, he's in remission now.
Oh,
he's on a new medicine, and it's causing him to be in remission, and we're so thankful for that.
Yeah, that's wonderful news. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that as we go through this life, we know that we don't just depend on ourselves, but we have you to call on to help us. And you've told us to call on you for help. And we want to lift up these who have needs today. We're thankful for the great report that we hear about Larry Shelton, and we pray you would continue to bless him with strength. We thank you that George had a successful surgery, and we pray your blessings on his recovery, both for him and for Kathy. And we want to continue to lift up those who are traveling. We lift up Marie's mom, Lord, and pray that you would help her through the UTI that she's dealing with. We're thankful that she has such good health, and that you've blessed her with longevity. I pray you would give her continued strength and recovery through this. We pray also, Lord, that for all the other needs among our congregation and around our world, we pray that you would be lifted up and glorified. Thank you that you invited us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So our hymn of communion is 195, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to meet here today and to worship you. We thank you for these symbols that you have left behind for us to remind us of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf so that we can spend eternity with you and experience the joy in your presence. Please be with us today and help us keep our mind focused on you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We think about our loved one, Jesus Christ, today. And as we think about other loved ones and those that aren't with us, it never gets redundant. And so as we think about him, let's not allow this to be redundant, to be commonplace, but to have the meaning of reminding us of his sacrifice, the sacrifice of his body. And the sacrifice of his blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. Thanks be to Christ for the bread of life
and the cup of salvation.
At this time, we'll pray for the offering. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us. And truly, a part of our worship is to give back to you. So we pray you would bless each gift, each giver, and even those who may not be able to give in this way. We just ask your blessings for all that is given in your name. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
So, Marie was on vacation this week, and I think it's special mention should be made that she still worked on getting everything together for the bulletin. And the only request she had, as they were going to be traveling some of this, was that I get my sermon info to her as soon as possible. Well, when I get into the message, one of the last things I do is come up with a title. You know, I kind of take everything that I worked on. And then, so I had to kind of reverse it. So I thought, I read the scripture a couple of times, and then I thought, okay, seeing with no vision. So I really hadn't thought it through a whole lot until, you know, as I started getting into the message, and then I thought, that could actually be taken two ways. Because you can have sight physically and have no vision. You know, organizational groups, leaders, teachers, all the time are talking about this, that you can have sight, but you got to have vision. There are people in sales that they have sight, they can read the stuff on how to sell. They got to have vision to make it happen. So you can have sight, not have vision. Churches can be that way too. You can have sight, but not have vision. You know, the seven deadly words of a church, we've never done it that way before. I mean, it just stops it in its tracks. We've never done it that way before. Or another seven words is, we tried that and it didn't work. It's amazing. You know, so anyhow, there's this thing of sight and vision. But another thing, a person may not have physical sight, but they can still have vision. You know, there probably are many good leaders. I imagine some CEOs who do not have physical sight, but they have an awareness, a vision that they can see things that they couldn't see otherwise, you know, physically. And one of the funny examples I saw was Ronnie Millsap. I saw him live, and he walks up to the edge of this stage at Opryland, and he can't see the edge of the stage, so they had a little cheat sheet for him, a little thing to stop him. And he goes, how you all doing out there? You are looking real good tonight. Well, you know, a lot of people would just say, well, I can't do this because I can't see. So anyhow, those are two different ways that we could see the words seeing without vision. Well, Jesus is talking to this man who had been born blind, and it says he went to find him. Now, I find this interesting. He went to find him because he heard he was put out of the synagogue. Now, There was another example. When Jesus healed the lame man, what did he do? After the lame man was being beaten down by the Pharisees, Jesus went to find him and to tell him who he was. And he believed in the Lord. And Jesus went to find this man. I mean, this man was blind. He didn't know who it was that touched him. He just knew it was somebody very special, but he couldn't see Jesus when he put those little mud pies on his eyes. And so Jesus goes to find him. Jesus heard that he was put out of the synagogue. Now, that was a big deal for a Jewish male to be put out of the synagogue. Maybe not as much for him. He was already kind of an outcast because of his handicap. It says that he was a beggar, which makes me think that even his parents weren't really taking care of him. And that would seem to fit with the way they responded to the Pharisees that we read about last week. Oh, hey, don't ask us how he was healed. All we know is he used to be blind, and now he can see. Go ask him. He's of age. And it says they did this because they were afraid. So they threw their son under the bus. So why not? Would they have not done that earlier? And so then he becomes a beggar. Another thing, he was kind of an outcast of the synagogue. His life wasn't wrapped around it with jobs and so forth. So he gets kicked out of the synagogue, and Jesus goes to find him. Now, we might think it was such a bad thing, but look what would have happened if the Pharisees had embraced that man. They could have alienated him from Jesus. But they kicked him to the curb. They said, "We do not want you in the synagogue because you are a believer in Jesus." And so Jesus approaches the man. Now, there are two groups of people Jesus is talking to in this passage. In just these few short verses, he's talking to the man who was healed of blindness and believers. And he's talking to the Pharisees and those who reject Jesus. Not four groups, two groups represented by the man who was healed and the Pharisees. And if you miss that, then some of the scripture dialogue that we read is going to be like, huh? It seems like he's talking real nice to the blind man. Then it seems like he smacks him good. No, he's talking to two different representations here. So Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Now, who is he, Lord? He wasn't saying, "Who is he, Lord, in that you are Lord God." He was just saying, "Sir, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Get a picture of that. He believed and he worshiped him. He didn't have one of these that said it was 10:30 a.m., time to worship him. He worshiped him. Worship comes from the words worth. He valued Jesus. He adored Jesus. He accepted Jesus. He worshiped him. It wasn't just a catechism that he was being taught. It was like right now, he worshiped Jesus. Did you know our worship isn't locked in to this time period today? Our worship is any time through the week. You know, what I find I have to do if I want to worship the Lord through the week is I have to change the channel from talk radio, where I get so angry at stuff going on in the world, and I have to put it on something that feeds my soul. And I just got to do it. There's just so much bad stuff that's going on, and if you just feed on it, it just infuriates you. But we got to feed ourselves on Him. And so some music that just feeds your soul, or listen to scripture when you're driving down the road, or read scripture at a break, and look for Jesus to be speaking to you and worship Him. Show that you are showing Him worth and value. So he worshiped him. So Jesus was speaking to the man who was healed of blindness, physical blindness, and to all those who would believe. But then he changes gears, because he knew the Pharisees and all of these who had rejected him were listening. And he says, "For judgment I've come into the world, that those who do not see may see." So he's talking about the man who was born blind. It wasn't just coming into the world to make somebody see physically, but those who are blind spiritually that he could make see. And then those who see may be made blind. Well, the Pharisees are kind of getting it. And they go, "Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, 'Are we blind also?'" Well, they asked. And he's going to tell them, "Are we blind?" Jesus says, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." We're going to get into that verse a little bit, but just on the surface here, Jesus says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. So he's saying, if you were blind, you would have no responsibility of being able to see me physically, because you couldn't. Just like the man who was healed of blindness, Jesus had to tell him who he was. But he says, basically, you all have seen me. You all are responsible. You all could make a decision to accept me. And you see, therefore, your sin, your rejection of me remains. I got a friend who volunteers for me at the hospice, and he makes some calls on folks. After they've been with us a little while, he'll call in and check on them. And so anyhow, Bill had to take a week off a couple weeks ago. And he said that he was getting cataract surgery. So he got his first eye done. Everything went great. Then he got his second eye done. And he told me, "I see wonderfully now. Everything is good. Everything is so clear. it's almost like I got perfect vision. And so he calls me on one day this past week. It was the day that I left my phone somewhere, and I knew where it was, but I had to go retrieve it. And so I sent him an email, and at the top of the email, where I normally list the names of who he calls, I put, "Hey, Bill, do not text me or call me for a few hours because I left my phone somewhere and I'll have to retrieve it. If you need me, call my personal phone." So anyhow, I get to where my phone is. See, I have a missed call from Bill. And then I'm holding it and he calls again. I go, "Hey, how's it going?" "Oh, all right. Hey, I got the calls done." I said, "Oh, hey, did you see my note?" "What note?" I said, "The note at the top of where the list of the names." "Oh, I didn't even see that." I go, "All right, you're going to be a sermon illustration Sunday. This is perfect. This is perfect because you are able to see. You have no excuse." Had a little fun with that. And that's really what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees. You're able to see. Now, are there Pharisees today? Oh, yeah, there are. Are there those who say they believe in Jesus, but they're Pharisees? Yeah. Oh, there's one. I'm not going to name the town, and I'm not going to name the preacher, but if you Googled it, you would find it, and he's an idiot. He has a sign out in front of the church that says, "No masks allowed." Now, I don't care if you wear a mask or not. And I don't think Jesus cares if you wear a mask or not. But to put up a sign that says, "Do not come into this church if you're wearing a mask," that's a Pharisee. That's saying, "Hey, come to Jesus, but no. Not if it's like this. You got to go by our rule." Or the little so-called church in Kansas that even when some of our soldiers die, they show up at funerals with picket signs. And they say they know Jesus. But I don't think that's knowing Jesus. I kind of loved it when they showed up at Woodmont Hills Church a few years ago, because all the biker organizations showed up too, and they surrounded that church and they held up picket signs. And I may not have approved of everything that was on the picket signs, and I may not have thought it was wonderful that they slashed the tires of. Well, I did kind of like it, I have to admit, you know. Pharisees, that's not the way of Jesus. Jesus' gospel is a gospel that reaches out to those who are blind, reaches out and invites them to come to him. Now, there's Pharisees on the other side of the fence, too, that can be so liberal. You know, it can be on both sides of that. People who say they know Jesus, but it just doesn't add up. Jesus says, "If you were blind, you would have no sin." That doesn't mean if a person is physically blind that they are sinless. It just means that on this particular point, as he's describing to them, if they couldn't physically see who he was, well, that was understandable if they were physically blind. But when it comes to spiritual blindness, that's something that can be corrected. And not by going to have cataract surgery, but to have the enlightenment that comes from the Holy Spirit. This morning, we come to a time that we call the invitation time, but the invitation is always open to come to Jesus. The invitation is always open to receive Him as your Savior. We just do this corporately. And so now, we invite you, if your eyes have been closed, we invite you to see who Jesus is, that He died on the cross to save us from our sins. He invited us to come to Him. We find in the Scriptures, throughout the Scriptures, that those who came to Jesus, when you go into the book of Acts, you find that they confessed that He was Savior and Lord. They repented of their sins, and they were baptized to surrender their life in a burial, to symbolize the burial of Christ and the resurrection. We invite you, if there's any decisions today, won't you make that decision now? Let's sing our hymn of invitation, which is, I Want to Be a Christian. I think that was right. Let's all stand. Today, and I hope you're sticking around for some good food and fellowship. Let's be dismissed. Lord, we do thank You that You reached out to us. Just as we saw that You went to the blind man and You went to the lame man. In a very real way, Lord, You came to us all, inviting us to receive You. And so we thank You for that. Thank You for Your great love. May we treasure it and be drawn to worship You. We pray you would continue to bless us in our time of fellowship now. And we give you thanks for the food that we're about to partake of. Thank you for all you give to us, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.